Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day when we're drawn into a deep experience of your Spirit poured out upon all creation, on all generations, for all time. Pray for your Spirit, Lord, to find space and room in our hearts. To realize what you want to pour out upon us today in your great mercy and compassion. Pray that we might hear and respond to your word this day, Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So in a few moments, we'll come to venerate the cross. Down through the ages, Christians have taken up that call in John's gospel that they will look upon the one whom they have pierced, to make the connection with our lives, not something of some historical fact of the past, but the presence and reality of God with us, still pouring out his mercy, his love and his healing on every generation, in every culture, on every person, on you and me. And in a particular way this year, this mercy, a river of mercy, would flood our world and flood our hearts. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, was so keen to ensure that as Christians we remain in communion with Jesus. And the way to remain in communion is to accept the standard of the cross over and against the standard of the world or the standard of Satan. The standard of the cross was very simply poverty, in the sense of embracing the poverty of Jesus, being born in a stable. He had nothing, relied on the providence of God, and was buried in someone else's tomb. No one stood for him, no lawyers. At his trial, he stood alone, trusting in his Father. Simplicity, poverty. Embracing humiliation, not honours and glory and prestige and status and reputation, but all of that being lost. Trusting again in the Father to be his vindication. Not wealth and riches and power, but humiliation for the truth. And humility, knowing my place before God, knowing that I am a creature of God, knowing that I am a daughter or son of God. I'm not God, but I am a son or daughter of God, created his likeness and image. Jesus knew where he stood in relation to the Father and the Spirit. So when we come today to venerate the cross, we have presented to us two crowns, the kingship that's spoken about in the Passion. We have the crown of the world, sparkling jewels and gold and representing all that power and all that authority, maybe representing domination, authority. We have that presented to us. How attractive that seems, let's be honest. We live in an incredibly materialistic culture. How could that not be what we would expect? And Jesus holds out to us a crown of thorns. One will weigh us down and bring us ultimately death. And one, yes, will experience something of the heart of Jesus pierced. We'll be able to open our hearts that are pierced by suffering and loss and pain in our own place and society and culture and the way we've grown up. But through that pierced heart of Christ will flow this mercy, this hope. So as you come to venerate the cross, be clear what crown Jesus offers you. The crown of life that he gives to the very last moment of his death and even beyond his death. He's enthroned on the cross. And we're told that even after his death, he pours out blood and water, his spirit. When Pilate brings out Jesus and says, "Behold the man," in some senses, what John's reflecting there is, "Behold the innocent, powerless one." And there are many in the world who stand in that place, powerless victims of powerful institutions who have crushed or abused or rejected or overwhelmed them. And Jesus stands in that place. In many ways, there's some that write that perhaps the person that understands this person who is the most innocent, this person who shouldn't be standing under the condemnation of the law, is like a little child who's been terribly abused or tortured or in some way neglected. So innocent. And Jesus stands in that place, but not powerless, not in the sense that we are as human beings. Nothing happens in John's gospel in the Passion till Jesus gives his yes. You hear there in the first, when they meet him in the garden and they say, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus the Nazarene." He says, "I am he." You see the response of the crowd? They fall back and bow before him. And it's not until he says, "Let these go. I am the Jesus, the Nazarene. Take me and let these go," that it all starts to happen. So he's the king who has great authority, even in the midst of his great simplicity and poverty and suffering. Behold the man also. This is what humanity can do to one another. This is what it can look like. Jesus stands before them, bloodied, crowned with thorns, hands tied, bound. No one to stand with him. No one to speak for him. Standing before an authority, a judge, who's starting to become ambivalent, who's starting to be waver, who's starting actually himself to be transformed by the very presence of Jesus and is uncertain of his own authority and power, because he stands almost, now he's realizing, he stands before someone who's way and beyond any earthly authority or power. And so he abdicates his authority to a mob who are baying for his blood. But in Jesus, behold the man, we see what humanity or inhumanity is capable of. That too, when we come to venerate the cross, is what happens in my heart as I look upon the one whom I have pierced. But it's in that very looking upon the one whom I have pierced, it's in the looking at the one who I realize that that's what humanity can do. to another human being, to inhuman. It's inhuman. But what I also get in contact with as I look upon him whom I have pierced is that from his heart, from his pierced heart, will flow the possibility of me being made human again, of our world being made human again, of our world taking up a dignity, that we are better than this, that Jesus makes it possible to say that we are better than this, what we see before us, this inhuman response to Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, we are better than this because of what I have done for you. Because from his heart flows those springs of living water, that mercy, rivers of mercy, that in many sense that Pope Francis is in touch with for the world. In this year he's saying there are rivers of mercy flowing from the heart of God, not just for my church, not just for the people in the church, but for those you will encounter where Christ already is. In the church out there, in the battlefield. He loves the image of the battlefield. Bloodied and dirtied Christians who've been out in the battlefield, washing and cleaning and sharing the word of God with people, lifting them up, helping those who are in pain, lost, imprisoned, sick, lonely, frail. The Christian looks a little dirty and battled and tired because he's encountered Christ in the church on the edge, because they're our brothers and sisters as much as those who may sit alongside me in my family. So today, as we venerate the cross, there is a kind of decision for us. Not a hard decision, really, but nevertheless a decision to say, to embrace Jesus and to kind of respond to the call of the heart of God today, which is, you know, what more can I do for you? Tell me. It's one of the reproaches that are used in one of the ancient texts. What more can I do for you? I pour out my very heart for you. What more can I do for you? Tell me, he says. And the response of the Christian is, what response can I make for such amazing, incredible love? What response can I make as I come to you, Lord, and venerate you today? You know, I'll just finish with this. I had this beautiful insight, I guess, into the human spirit in meditating on the Passion. And though we didn't read it today, but it's about Simon of Cyrene. And, you know, in tradition, the women coming to Jesus and the Veronica wiping the face. And that these moments where the human person, the human spirit, is lifted to a dignity as they minister to Christ in his Passion. As Simon would have reluctantly got under that cross with Jesus. And as he felt maybe Jesus' arm around him carrying it together, he would have realized that he didn't want to be anywhere else than with Jesus, close to the heart of Jesus. We are capable of so much beauty as we're drawn today to venerate the cross. So let's pray as we come together, as each one makes their response, if that's the way you're led in a few moments after the intercessions. Let's pray for one another that we would encounter this amazing love of God, this season of mercy. Let's pray this grace today for us. And don't worry so much about, I've often heard people say, oh, I went to that Good Friday service, and I came out sort of cold and numb. Didn't feel anything in relation to Jesus. Good. Because it's not about me. It's about the beautiful thing I can do for Jesus here, and hopefully what I do here will be an engagement with Jesus who lives on the margins, and the beautiful thing I can do for him in that place. Amen.